So we continue our series in Revelation this morning. We're going through the letters that John wrote from Jesus to seven of the New Testament churches. And today we've got to the church in Thyatira. And I wonder if you have ever felt a bit under the weather and gone on the internet to check your symptoms. Has anybody ever done that? I've done that once or twice, gone onto Google to see what Google says about my particular, the way I'm feeling. And sometimes it's right, and sometimes it's not a good thing to do, is it? Because sometimes it says, oh, these symptoms are signs of some incredibly nasty chronic disease, and you think, oh my gosh, what's happened to me? But sometimes, actually, if you probably go on the NHS website, it's quite a good diagnosis. But here Jesus is showing us some signs of a healthy part of a church and a not-so-healthy part of the church. So first of all, we're going to start thinking about this letter to the church in Thyatira with what makes a healthy church. And Jesus says to the church there, I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you first did. So Jesus commends the church in Thyatira for these things. He commends the church for its love for Jesus and for others. We heard earlier on in our service the fact that the commandment of God is to love him and to love those around us. The people in Thyatira were doing this. He commends them for their faith. Faith is trust in God, in God's provision, both physical and spiritual. Physical, that God will provide everything we need in terms of the money, the protection that we need, but also spiritual. The fact that God provides us with everything we need spiritually. Salvation, we believe, is a gift from God. Not something that we can earn, but something that we completely trust in God for. Jesus commends them for their service. That means caring for the poor and the needy. When you look at what that word means in the original, it really specifically meant caring for the weak, the poor, the needy, the orphans around them. They were doing that. And he commends them for their perseverance. Again, that's a New Testament word that means the ability to keep taking hits, the ability to keep getting back up again when you've been knocked down. Jesus says you are doing that both spiritually, when you come under attack from the evil one, and physically, when you're being persecuted for your faith. And most importantly, Jesus says you are increasing in these things. You're not just staying static, you're getting better and better at your love, faith, service, and perseverance. That's the sign of health in a church. Is growth and improvement in these things. So I think we should be thankful for what we do well in these things, for the love that we show to one another, for the faith that we have in God, for the service that we show, and the perseverance that we have. And we can ask God to help us with what we need to improve on. It's good for us to reflect, for us as a church here in Ickham and across the benefice, whether we are increasing in these, in love for God, in faith in all that he does, in service for those around us, and in perseverance. And it's not up to us to provide the motive for that, but God provides us with the energy and the motivation to do that. So here a diagnosis from Jesus about what makes a healthy church. But also in this rather troubling section in the middle of the letter, there are signs of what unhealthiness in a church looks like. And we have to remember that Revelation is a symbolic piece of writing. All the pictures in it are symbols of spiritual realities going on behind the scenes. And here we hear mentioned Jezebel. Now, Jezebel was a character from the Old Testament. She was the wife of King Ahab. And she was a strong devotee of the god Baal. She didn't like the god of the Old Testament. She didn't like Yahweh, who the Old Testament people worshipped. She worshipped Baal. And she also carried out some awful persecutions of God's faithful people who worshipped him. She would kill those who disagreed with her on a mass scale. So maybe this part of the letter to Thyatira is referring to a real person. But more importantly, it's referring to a principle that was going on in that church. And that's that many in the church thought it was okay with God if they did a bit of worshipping of other gods. Sacrificing food to pagan idols, that kind of thing. They thought, oh, God won't mind if we do that. But actually, there's a principle here that going away from God in worship is very serious. The first commandment of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt have no other gods but me. Don't have any idols, God said. And an idol is anything we make more important than God in our lives. None of us gets this totally right. But I think there's a difference between trying to worship God and messing up again and again. Lots of us do that. And Jesus commends, remember, the church in Thyatira for their perseverance. the fact that they kept falling down and messing up, but they kept getting back up again and carrying on. There's a difference between that, on the one hand, and deliberately saying something or someone is more important than God, on the other. Saying, yeah, God's all right, but actually what's more important is X, Y, or Z. I think the first one is a way of life the Bible commends, because none of us is perfect. We're all trying to live for God. But actually, the second way is not acceptable to the Lord. To say, actually, God, I don't think you're the most important thing in the world, and I'm going to put something in front of you. Think of it like marriage. There's a difference between a committed marriage in which the both the partners, yeah, they make mistakes and mess ups, but they are committed to one another. And on the other side, the unashamed open relationship of people like Will Smith, where they say, well, it's all right for me to have other partners. That's what our marriage is like. Clearly, one is a properly functioning marriage where there's mistakes, and the other is not even a marriage at all. And the proof of the pudding is in the eating. Whether we put God first or something else is shown in the way we live, in the, what we think the church is here for. Is it here to serve the community? Is it here to enable us to have a nice time? Or is it here to worship God? Again, let's thank God that we're not literally worshipping idols. Well, at least I hope not anyway. People don't have in their garden a carved image of a god and bowing down to it. Well, I haven't seen that yet anyway. I don't think we're doing that. Not that crass form of idol worship that's being talked about here. So we can thank God that that doesn't exist anymore. We can also ask God to help us to prioritise him, because other things do get in the way. Sometimes we think of other things as more important than him, and our timetables in our week often reflect that. So let's ask God to help us to be faithful to him. And when we come across passages like this that have sometimes seemed very strange to us, we have to remember the genre that we're talking about here, which is symbolic. I don't think when Jesus talks about the children of Jezebel, he's talking about literal children. He's talking about those who think it's okay to worship God and other gods, and therefore tell other people to do so. And he's saying that's not okay and not a sign of health in the church. But then we return in the last section from 24 onwards, verse 24, the last section is positive again. Jesus says to those who are doing the right thing, he's saying, hold on. That's what I want you to do. Just keep holding on. Because what makes a Christian? A Christian is somebody who trusts in Jesus alone for salvation from sin, and whose trust in Jesus results in a changed life for the better. That's what a Christian is. And for those of us who know we're in this category, it's a great comfort that Jesus says to us, just hold on. Just keep holding on. Not that we must do it some amazing feat of faith. He doesn't say, actually, I'm going to be really pleased with you if you give all your money away, you know, and you live an amazing life of just spending every single minute of every day praying. That's not what he says to us. He says, just hold on. Just don't let go. Don't let anybody take away from you the assurance and joy that you have in the salvation of Jesus. And that's all the advice Jesus gives to us as people who know him and love him. Just hold on to that precious gift that he's given us. And here we have, at the very end, a glimpse of heaven. Because Jesus says, to him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. There is a way in which in heaven, when we're with Jesus, we will reign with him over all of creation, just like it was meant to be at the beginning. God said to Adam and Eve, I put you here to be responsibly in charge of all of creation. We messed it up. We mess it up even today. But when heaven and earth are reunited at the end of time, we will once again be given that amazing responsibility of, with Jesus, ruling over all creation. What an amazing thought that is, and an encouragement for us in difficult times. So the signs of a healthy church, the signs of an unhealthy church, and a message for us who love the Lord Jesus just to hold on until he returns. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can increase in love and faith because we see it in you, Lord. We look at the life of the Lord Jesus and see in him such love and faith and service and perseverance for our sakes. So Lord, as we consider all he's done for us, his life of good works, help us to emulate that and grow in it always. And Lord, by your Holy Spirit, please give us strength to hold on, to just hold on to that amazing gift that Jesus has given us, and not let it be taken away. And in his holy name we pray that. Amen.